On this Monday morning, the Saints are the best offense in the NFL. Hey, welcome to the show, Baggy Gray, Andrew Perloff. Lots of unexpected results yesterday, Pearl, at the top of the list. I think you have to put this New Orleans Saints going into Dallas and just absolutely beating down on the Cowboys 44-19. This Saints offense, which I think people are a little dubious after week one, it's like, oh, they were playing the Panthers. Well, now you just played the Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons and that defense, and they were ineffective because they cannot play from behind. The defense gets completely neutralized when you are able to run the ball like the New Orleans Saints were able to do.
Yeah, newsflash, they're not keeping this up. No team is going to average 45.5 points per game, but they are really good. Now it's just a matter of keeping Derek Carr healthy and running away. Now, they play Atlanta. It's going to be really interesting, I think, in 2 weeks. Atlanta, everyone assumes that they're a heavy Vegas favorite to win coming in. That is the showdown. I mean, I think that, to me, those are the... But then again, the Bucs are right there,
too. They play your Eagles next week.
And the Bucs are right there. You know, maybe this is a division where you have to win. Maybe you have to win double-digit games this year.
No longer the 9-8 NFC South. Maybe you got to be 10-7.
We don't know yet. It's going to be interesting because all three of those teams... I am not giving up on Atlanta. Even if they lose tonight, Atlanta's schedule is really, really hard in the beginning of the season. It gets really, really easy. So this is actually going to be a really fun division.
All right, let's get to it. Something we do every Monday at this time, we call it the NFL in 60, every game in 60 seconds. Let's go.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, Perl, I think we just did the Saints and Cowboys, 44-19, so let's move on. Buccaneers get revenge for a playoff game. They beat the Lions in Detroit 20-16.
They technically beat them, but Jared Goff lost this game. He still throws boneheaded interceptions. When things aren't perfect for Jared Goff, things go bad, but Jahmyr Gibbs is the most exciting player in the NFL possibly. He had a cut I can't even describe. It was like the Matrix. It was so good. What'd you think of the game?
Baker Mayfield resurgence. This was a fun one. And Dan Campbell, I mean, what's going on here? You had confusion in the first half where the offense and the special teams units were both on the field. What are we doing here? You're too good of a team to do that.
He fake punted at his own 12-yard line. Put that guy in the Hall of Fame. I will not stand for Dan Campbell's slander here.
Packers 16, Colts 10. I'll take this one. I was not expecting a lot from Malik Willis, so credit to Matt LaFleur, who got a quarterback who really can't throw the ball that well, ready to play, and he attempted 14 passes, and it was 12 for 14. So that's great. Josh Jacobs was a beast on the ground, 32 carries, 150 yards.
Titans coming up next. You and I disagree. I think if Jordan Love could play, that's a kind of, at 1-1, and you're the Packers, seeding matters. Every win is important. I think that that was it. Love comeback.
See, now I'm thinking maybe you can win this game with Malik Willis. Maybe you can go to Tennessee and Will Levis will make some dumb mistakes and you walk out of the win and then Jordan Love has an extra week to recover that knee.
Tennessee will watch that film and learn from it and obviously gear up to stop Josh Jacobs.
Okay, Pearl. Jets 24, Titans 17. We already gave you a spoiler there. More Will Levis head-scratching moves. Does he get benched?
I don't think he does because they still want to see what they have. Will Levis has some talent. There's no doubt about it. But it's not just these idiotic plays. The last game one, he blew against the Bears. Last night, it was this sort of shovel pass behind him that cost him against the Jets. The thing is, he's not really throwing for a lot of yards. He hasn't gotten to 200 yards yet. He takes forever to get the ball out of his hand. It's slow release. I don't like him. I would go to Mason Rudolph.
I think that's on the table. And Mason Rudolph's not a terrible quarterback, and he's not going to make these bad decisions. For the Jets, just quickly, this one will not make a lot of headlines, but Jermaine Johnson leaving with an Achilles tear. Suddenly, that defensive front is thin, and it's not like the Jets are blowing people out. So that could end up rearing its head. Okay, let's move on. This was a stunner. Vikings 23, 49ers 17. Your big takeaway from this game was what?
Wow, okay, last year the Vikings beat him 22-17. I would not panic if I was the Niners because you don't have McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk is not himself yet. Kittle left the game for a little while. It's still, with all that being said, Brock Purdy threw for 319 yards, which is second most across the league this week. So I think the Niners can drop this game, and I think the Vikings are a pretty good team.
You know what? Sam Darnold. Wow. Owe you an apology, dude. I don't know if this is going to be the whole season, but he looked really good, and especially in the fourth quarter when it was winning time. That Minnesota defense just brings this kind of pressure. I think that Brock Purdy, they were all just sort of discombobulated. And then Purdy didn't make it any easier on himself. And he's just like basically dropping a ball that was in his hand that led to an interception. The Justin Jefferson TD is one I'll remember for quite a long time.
Beautiful.
Running, reversing field and running in for a touchdown. It's pretty special.
I can't believe Darnold got him the ball. That was unbelievable.
It was a good throw. Better run, but good throw. Okay, Seahawks go on the road to New England. Perloff, 23-20. That's the score in overtime. It was like mind-boggling to me how conservative Seattle was playing in this game. But ultimately, to the winner goes the spoils. Geno still looks good. He's able to engineer two drives in the fourth quarter that both led to field goals that got them in position to tie the game anyway and then to sneak away with the win. It's not pretty, but that was a good win for Seattle.
I was rooting so hard for Gerard Mayo and the Patriots. I feel like if he had started out 2-0 in the post-Belichick era, he seems like such a good dude, based on nothing. You're all mad about this 4th-and-1, but what play was Seattle going to run? I mean, they could not run the ball at all in New England. They
got
stuffed
nothing.
On another 4th-and-1, and it wasn't even close.
You can't do anything. You can't do some kind of screen pass. You can't do any kind of just like the tight end leaks out and everyone loses them. So you
that's
can get
a game.
A yard.
That's a game if it doesn't work.
They
knew they had a big advantage going into overtime. But they have great receivers. Can I just say, Seattle, those guys are amazing.
Yeah, DK Metcalf with a big touchdown. But you know what? Here are the Patriots. Excuse me. Not a walkover. Did you already hit the music? And we Giants, Commanders 21, Giants 18. Yeah. You left this game in love with Malik Nabers.
I love Malik Nabers. Giants win that game if they have a kicker. There's no doubt about it because they were doing a bend, don't break against Jaden Daniels, and the Commanders couldn't quite get in the end zone. Jaden Daniels' numbers are really good. 23 for 29, 226, can definitely run the ball, took some hits again, and I love Brian Robinson. The Commanders running back. Just love everything about him.
I mean, how about the kicker, Austin Seibert?
Yeah.
Signed by the team on Monday after Washington cut Cade York. Then he converted all 7 of his field goal attempts, including the 30-yarder as time expired. Yeah. Kickers were very important in this game.
Yeah, they're huge. Did you see the play where Brian Robinson looked like he just barely made the short yardage gain, then popped out of the pile and ran all the way? I can't like the Commanders. They're in the NFC East with my Eagles. But they're okay to root for in the post-Dan Snyder era. It's a different vibe, right?
Totally. Chargers 26, Panthers 3. This is going to be all types of bad here for the Panthers this season. I think they could go 0-17. But meanwhile, the Chargers, outside of Justin Herbert getting an injury at the end, towards the end of the game, well, I guess it was in the third quarter, Jim Harbaugh, 2-0, my coach of the year pick. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, come on. I mean, have you seen anything?
I'm sorry,
anything
Dennis from, Allen doesn't win it.
Have you seen anything from the chart? That I'm not going to judge much on that game. The play where Herbert almost got hurt. Like, he gets hit high, he gets hit low. The Chargers make me nervous, Maggie. And forget Harbaugh. Forget all this. Like, is this team going to stay healthy? You saw, I think, Jim Harbaugh's life flash before his eyes on that play, which was totally unnecessary. Herbert should have just gotten rid of the ball.
You're right. And you were also right about the run game. J.K. Dobbins, I mean, coming off the Achilles, so far he's run for 266 yards and 2 touchdowns. The first Charger to have back-to-back 100-yard rushing games in 8 years.
He's the story of the year. That's amazing. But the pregame ritual with Harbaugh and Justin Herbert getting annoying in 2 weeks. Anyone, you know, where they punch, he punches him in the front and the back. It's annoying. I'm sorry, Baggy. It's overdone.
Browns 18, Jags 13. Trevor Lawrence said after this game, we suck right now. Spot the lie. They should be much better. And there's another time when Trevor Lawrence has the ball, game on the line. They need a big drive from him, and you just come up absolute snake eyes.
Yeah, I had trouble watching this game. It was just tough. There was sort of a fog rolling in and the weather. Trevor Lawrence, let me ask you a question. Here's the key question. Do they regret $55 million a year? Is that already in their mind?
No. I don't think so.
What if they go 5-12 and he's just middling?
You know, he's lost 7 consecutive starts dating back to last season. He was hurt last year. I don't know if that's fair, but it's been bad.
That's how the Browns want to win games, by the way. Deshaun Watson, I don't remember a single play he had, and that's probably a good thing if you're the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Sean has become like the referees. Like, if you don't mention them, it's a good game.
Yeah, like it's like an extra point. Like, you never want to even think about it. You just want it to happen.
Yeah. Raiders 26, Ravens 23. Another stunner from the weekend.
I've watched the highlights of the game. I watched the game. I still don't understand how the Raiders won this game. I understand Devontae Adams picked the ball out of midair in the end zone. I just don't quite get it. I can't wrap my head around this Ravens loss, Maggie.
I'll tell you how. 10 penalties for 109 yards and going 3-for-11 on third down. Now, we had a caller from Baltimore call in say blatantly that the league is rigged.
It was a bad pass interference.
I don't know if I can say it's rigged, but Ravens blowing a 10-point third quarter lead is certainly at home, certainly something we don't see a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry came to life. They felt like this game was over. Felt like they had won this game once again. Gardner Minshew started off really slow, and then I was thinking, okay, is it O'Connell time at a certain point? But Minshew finished really strong.
Devontae Adams, 9 catches, 110 yards. Meanwhile, LeBron only 5 rushes for 35 yards, too. So was not using the ground game at all. We continue. This is our NFL in 60 here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Every game, 60 seconds. Cardinals obliterate the Rams 41-10, bro.
The tank is on in L.A. I'm going to cut. They're just too hurt. There's no way they can get this all together. They can't stop the run. Their defensive backfield is young and unproven. Their front without Aaron Donald cannot stop the run. And Kupp is hurt and Nacua is hurt. Like, what's the silver lining here? I don't see any. And Kyler Murray looked great for Arizona.
Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., chef's kiss. 4 catches, 130 receiving yards for Marvin Harrison Jr. The Rams secondary got absolutely torched. Matthew Stafford got sacked 5 times in this game and probably felt every one of them. Do you call Aaron Donald and ask to get him out of retirement?
Why?
I don't know, because your defense looks so bad. This game wasn't competitive.
Why would Donald come back for 0-2 team with Kupp and Nacua out?
Well, because Nacua might be out for like 5 to 7 weeks. He got put on IR, but we're not sure about Kupp. He could be back next week. Maybe he'll shake it off. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So the Rams I don't see it. They looked fine in week 1, but this was so bad. I don't think they're anywhere close. I think it might be, I hate to say it, rebuild time.
Steelers 13, Broncos 6. This is going to be one of those, like, where they show this to, like, people they're trying to torture and, like, you know, like a Guantanamo Bay situation. I don't know. And I don't know what's more painful to watch, the Steelers offense or the Broncos offense. It's both dreadful. Steelers defense is obviously the key here, and they've been great. I'm left speechless because Justin Fields has had opportunities to win this job, and he's definitely not winning it, and they're probably going to go to Russell Wilson. I would say definitely going to go to Wilson when he's healthy.
Well, give Fields credit for not losing it. How about the narrative that I'm pushing already?
Yeah.
TJ Watt could be the first defensive MVP since Lawrence Taylor in 1986 because he is so far and away the most valuable player on that team. Now, they kind of contained him a little bit yesterday. He had this weird phantom sack where he just got near Bo Nix and Bo Nix got scared and hit the ground. But this is such a defense first team and he's their most valuable player. Well, I think this formula might work. They might have double-digit wins and get nothing out of their quarterback, Maggie. That's what I saw on Sunday.
First place in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen, at 2-0 because not just the Ravens going 0-2, but also our next game, Chiefs 26, Bengals 25. Bengals 0-2 for it feels like the millionth year in a row. To be honest, I thought the Bengals have to be just sick to their stomachs this morning because they should have won that game.
Definitely, but I still think they're encouraged. There's a lot to be excited about. Joe Burrow looked really, really good there. I mean,
until the fumble that got picked up for a scoop and score.
I mean, yeah, but when you're evaluating a quarterback, you're not talking about fumbles. You're talking about how did he look when he dropped back and passed the ball. Man, he made some plays. I think he is. You cannot look at that game and say that it's not two of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's really all you can ask for. 0-2's never stopped him before. I mean, Zach Taylor cannot win in week 1 and week 2, and they still have had a lot of success. Not counting them out at all. I think they're going to go to 2-2, and we're going to look at them as a factor in the AFC.
I think for both sides, I think if you're the Bengals, you're really frustrated by this because you didn't come away with the win. It was a 4th-and-16 call with a defensive pass interference that basically set up a Harrison Butker 51-yard field goal. And I think if you're the Chiefs, you got to be feeling like, all right, this is not who we're capable of being. And Pacheco is hurt, by the way, and we're not sure how severe that is. I think that's a big deal.
They just beat the Ravens 17-10 in last year's AFC title game. Why would you worry about this formula being a more conservative team? You won a Super Bowl doing that. Why all of a sudden would you panic now?
Because this, you have Xavier Worthy. You're expecting a little bit more downfield. You got nothing. Okay, we get the hint. Last one for you. This was last night's game. Texans 19, Bears 13. Caleb Williams, 7 sacks, was it? Ooh, I mean, he really took a beating. And the Texans, the Bears defense looked good. The Texans defense looked great. And I thought the Texans offense was going to be a little bit more explosive this season. I just think they have a lot more to go. Like, their ceiling could be much, much higher in terms of offense.
Yeah, I kind of walked away from this game a little differently. I think C.J. Stroud is under total control of the game. And there wasn't a single point where I thought they were going to lose that game. And I thought, even though they didn't score much second half, they were clearly playing ball control.
Yeah, but playing ball control when you're up 6, like, that doesn't... I think that's wrong. I think Cam Akers fumbled at the goal line, and I think they were probably ticked off.
Well, that's not... Yeah, but by design, like, that's not like anything with CJ Stroud. That happens. I mean, everybody's fumbling at the goal line now.
But they scored 3 points after halftime. This was not robust.
Yeah, but Bobby Slowick is a very conservative play caller. I mean...
Yeah, but you've got all these weapons now. Like, I'm not saying you got to air it out every moment, but you've got a lot of mouths to feed here.
Mm-hmm. That's not what they're going to do. They're just not... He does not want to open up that offense yet. C.J. Stroud on the run, that was Mahomes-like
yesterday. That was beautiful.
There was a couple plays where he... I mean, it's amazing. He is as young as Caleb Williams, and one quarterback looks like he's been playing for 10 years, and the other looks like a rookie. Caleb being the rookie. That was clear, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
C.J. Stroud being the veteran.
Well, is he a veteran? I mean, second year.
I said he looks like he's been playing for 10 years. That was C.J. Stroud I was referring to. Stroud, Nick, you following me there?
There. Exactly. Stroud looked amazing making that roll out to the right and then down the sideline. And then Caleb Williams tried to do it, and it didn't look the same. But again, it's only his second game.
Why does when Bryce Young scrambles, why is he always scrambling the wrong way and trying some impossible against the body throw? Like, why do quarterbacks scramble to their left? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Bryce Young, every time, like, it worked in college, Maggie. I saw it. It was in Alabama, and it worked all the time. And it's not working at all, which makes me a little bit nervous for Caleb Williams because he'll scramble left, he'll scramble right, but it doesn't seem to be working yet.
855-212-4227. So that's every game in a minute. We got some poll questions out there for you. Have you seen enough to say the Saints will win the NFC South? 61% say no. Not sold. 100% on the Saints. Who had the biggest surprise loss in week 2? The Dallas Cowboys were winning this poll. Not the case anymore. Baltimore Ravens have now edged them out. San Francisco 49ers in third place. And how should the Cincinnati Bengals feel after yesterday's loss to the Chiefs? 87% say bad because we gave one away. Not good because we almost beat Kansas City. There you go.
I'm a little surprised by the last one.
I'm not.
I mean, it's how I feel, so I agree with them. I just would have assumed more people would have felt like the... Because what I kept seeing online was that the Bengals kind of got robbed. Because everybody hates the Chiefs, and the Chiefs always seem to get great calls. I mean, they are the new Patriots. Like, every call, every bounce always goes their way.
They're
it's,
the
like,
boogeyman.
Crazy.
Yep.
So I was a little surprised that, like, there wasn't more sympathy for the Bengals saying, hey, they played great. I don't think they played well. I thought they gave that game away. So I'm glad America feels
the
same way.
Yeah, but you know T. Higgins wasn't playing, right? That defined a lot of what was happening out there. Everybody was on chase, and there were key drops from the other players. And I love the Princeton kid, but this is not a fully constituted Cincinnati team. They're going to get better.
Here's my problem with the Bengals, though, is it feels like the similar problem I have with the 49ers is we've given them championship-level pedigree without a championship. Like, we just assume, well, they got to the Super Bowl once, and they beat Mahomes in the playoffs. Well, they're this, like, big clutch team that's always going to come through in the end when, like, they have not won a championship. And, like, why do we keep giving them the rope? Why? Because they can start 0-3 and still make the playoffs or be decent? Like, that's not winning you anything. Like, to me, like, that looked like a team that felt too familiar with what I've seen from this Bengals team, a team that just can't get over the hump. That's really good, that's really talented, that can play toe-to-toe with the best and sometimes beat them. But when it comes to the chips being all down on the table, they're going to find a way to come up short. Well, and it sucks. I like the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow. But that's how I felt yesterday.
And it also feels like it's stuff that's just easily avoided.
Right.
Like Jamar Chase, you can't be jawing at the referee so much
exactly.
that you get a personal foul call. Like the game's too tight. It's too important, you know? And again, you're asking a rookie out there to be, you know, covering the Chiefs' best receiver in Rashee Rice. And he got there too early. And that was the second bad play of the game. It's like, I don't know.
Well, they've had two playoff runs. One, they lost in Super Bowl because Aaron Donald went berserk.
Right. Game, they also get like, another game they should have won.
And one, they lost to the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs.
Right. A game they should have won.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're talking about, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, championship pedigree, like, they were 10-7, made it to the Super Bowl. I think that was a pretty impressive run for me, but I guess not enough for you.
I mean, this is a championship contender for sure, and you want to start to see signs that they're able to get over this hump finally.
Well, I didn't
watch that game yesterday and felt like this is a team that's ready for prime time. I saw a team that is going to blow it when it matters most, which is, again, it's crazy to me, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, you honestly think, like, this is the Bengals? Like, they're going to be a way different team by the end of the season.
Okay, but whose fault is that Jamar Chase is not up to 100%? That's not because he's recovering from an injury. It's because he's recovering from a hold-in.
And doesn't matter, though. He's going to be a different player by the end of the season.
And I think you're one of the people who thinks T. Higgins is not trying as hard to come back because, again, contract stuff. So,
yeah,
like,
but he'll be back. He's going to play next week, so.
It's fine, but here's the thing. Like, you have to take advantage of times when I think Mahomes didn't look amazing. You know, he's only passing for 150 yards. Kelsey's not involved, basically, offensively in terms of the pass game. He's blocking a little bit. But these are moments you have to take advantage of. And if Mahomes throwing bad picks, like, that never happened.
But you can't. They could have gotten out. I mean, listen, they were throwing to scrubs. If you get Higgins and Chase at full strength with Burrow playing like that, you guys can bet against the Bengals all you want. They're going to be 2-2 in 2 weeks. That I'm telling you, I would watch out for them. That's all. I guess we see this team very differently.
Coming up, outside of Stroud, tough day for second-year quarterbacks. Not exactly taking that big jump from year one to year two that we were expecting. We'll get to that next. 855-212-4227.
Once again, I'm frustrated by my coworkers here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. How could everybody walk away from the heroic effort by Joe Burrow and a losing effort? They got to 4th-and-16 in Arrowhead and almost won the game, and you guys are panicking about the Bengals? They lost to the Patriots in Week 1. They should be having a parade after that game. They are back, baby, and they're going to be super dangerous in the AFC. This doesn't matter. This is a Week 2 loss. They always lose at Week 2. I'm telling you, Maggie, you're a Bills fan. You do not want to see Joe Burrow in the postseason.
Oh.
This is what they do. This is what the Bengals do.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you for bringing up that amazing memory of the Bengals coming into Buffalo and kicking our butts. But here's the thing. I hate putting the Bengals always on this curve. Like, it's like we're grading them on a curve.
It's a week two game.
We would not good job, good effort any other. We didn't good job, good effort the Ravens. Because they came close to beating the Chiefs and then didn't. We pointed out all the mistakes that the Ravens made and how they should have won that game.
That's because the Ravens are fully constituted. The Bengals are sort of patches together for the early season. They don't have T. Higgins. Jamar Chase wasn't there. They're going to get better and better and better, and everybody knows that. No, we don't think that the Bengals are going to improve.
Was Jamar Chase not on the field?
Yeah, he played, all
yeah,
right. The referee certainly knows him.
Yeah,
he
got
flagged for a crappy personal foul call that he should absolutely wear it.
He is going to get so much better.
Let's go to Dominic, who's in Washington. Good morning, Dom.
Hey, how you doing, man? First of all, I want to say I enjoy your show greatly. I actually have a local radio station that I can listen to, but I like to listen to you all. You know, you have such a great show, and I appreciate you letting me on.
Wow, Dom, thank you.
Yeah. Second of all, I want to agree with Maggie and TJ. I don't think this pedestal that the Bengals and Joe Burrow put on, I'm kind of flabbergasted by it. To me, from what I've seen, he had one great season in college. You know, it was a historical season, but
yeah,
it's been done a couple of times since then. And he had every weapon you can think of. And it's almost like everyone, they are judged on a curve. Like every metric we use for any other team, it seems to fall by the wayside when it comes to the Bengals.
Bengals
for some reason.
Okay, so Perloff just said something in the break, Dom, that you might find interesting. EJ said they have a championship pedigree. And Perloff, you're like, championship pedigree? Yeah. What championship pedigree? We're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, the Bengals are famously, they're the most, except for the Lions, the most famous losing franchise in NFL history. Like, obviously, everyone knows they've never won a Super Bowl. We have Boomer Esiason sitting 50 feet away from us. Like, they don't really have a championship pedigree. But I kind of, Dom, you're saying they act like they're champions. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I kind of, for some reason, just the way everything's going, the way his career is going, and the just the arrogance that the Bengals walk around with, I actually do not think they will win a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow.
Wow. It's interesting. Dom, I think you might be in the minority of that one. And thank you for the phone call. Yeah. Thank you for the kind words. I'm sorry to cut you off there. Just because we've got some injury news that we want to get to you. But
I think that's a really interesting take. Because I think you're right. I think most people think Burrow will eventually get one. And even yesterday, you have to admit, you guys can be down on the Bengals, but you cannot be down on Joe Burrow after that game. And if you are, I don't know what you were watching. Because I thought he was awesome.
Okay, we're going to have to put that to the side for a second. We're seeing here that we got an injury update, speaking of that game, on Isaiah Pacheco. It looks like NFL media is reporting that he suffered a fractured fibula against the Bengals. That's not what you want. That's a broken leg in
that's normal terms. Definitely way better than the other thing. You know, it's not the ACL. So fractured fibula, I don't know any of the details here, but he could be back, right? It's playing amateur doctor. That's the better injury.
Generally, broken bones we see guys come back from.
In season.
Well, right. It depends what happens. But this is week two. So I would think if it is just a broken bone, depending on how bad the fracture is, I think we could probably see him. You're right. It's very different than like an MCL or Achilles.
Well, he's gone for a couple of months at least. I mean, we're talking about back like late December. Like maybe just playoffs. Like that's the reality right here. And that's assuming this is. I mean, I remember Mike Vick broke his fibula in the preseason in his second year, and he was a third year, and he was done for the year. I think it just depends on the break. I guess we'll learn more. But
Bogish is here. When you gave us the detail that he was emotional in the locker room, was like, yesterday when he left in a boot on crutches.
I'll say 8 weeks. That's my guess. It's an early guess based on that. And hopefully, we have no idea the extent of the fracture. Is it a minor fracture? Is it a snap?
Listen, I know it's Andy Reid and it's the Chiefs and all of that, but Pacheco is just...
Don't make that mistake. You're counting out the Bengals. Now you're going to count the Chiefs because Isaiah Pacheco. As a fan of an AFC team, do not do this, Maggie.
I'm not like counting them out. I just want to see what this looks like without him because I feel like he always has a big part of the workload.
It's also an interesting kind of back-to-back for me because my chief takeaway as they were winning yesterday was like they still are the Chiefs in the grand scheme of things. They don't play well, but they get a pass interference, a legitimate call, but a pass interference call on fourth down, extends the drive, Butker kicks the field goal, they win. So like the things still align for them to win games, to win another Super Bowl. But here's one of the things that you can't control that can sideline you from a three-peat is losing, I don't know, your third best offensive player, maybe your second best offensive player.
I mean, I just go back to they lost Tyreek Hill and won two Super Bowls. He was arguably the best.
But they had a whole offseason to prepare for life after Tyreek Hill. We know Andy Reid with preparation and coming off bye weeks and all that stuff. Like, if you give him time to game plan, now this is somebody who you probably expected to at least have a little bit longer than 2 weeks.
And here's one of the guys who they used to replace Tyreek Hill. Gave them a different... This was an angle that they didn't have.
I really don't see it this way, the way you guys are looking at me now like I'm crazy. Like, this is Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but at some point he's got to have guys to give the ball to that can do something with it. And when Pacheco was hurt, they were giving it to a blonde, long-haired fullback yesterday.
They basically do these screen passes to Rice that are like extended handoffs. They find a million ways to do it.
They are not going to lose whatever. What's the math now? 13 of their last 15 games.
Yeah,
this is the thing that these are one of the things why it's so hard to win a Super Bowl, let alone two or three in a row. Is now that this guy's out for months.
Yeah, they can scheme up a lot. Yeah, they're really good coaching staff. I think that. And he's Isaiah Pacheco. We're acting like they lost Barry Sanders in 1995. They have a lot of different ways to beat you.
Yeah, no, I listen, it's the Chiefs, so they'll always get the benefit of the doubt. But I don't think Carson Steele can all of a sudden, a rookie.
Right.
Is this the guy who owns the alligator who lives at his parents' house?
No. Is he?
I think this is the same guy.
That might be him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He had he got a gift as a pet, and now it's like 5 feet
long. This is the same guy.
I had Pacheco on my fantasy team, and we had Carson Steele preseason and cut him for Isaiah Likely last week.
This is what you're doing here. Yeah. You're, this is you self-medicating. Oh, you are talking yourself out of fantasy. Yes.
Yeah. I was. Yeah. No, but oh, come
it's
on.
Not, he's not that good. You it's not that are, big of a deal.
I mean, come
those
on.
Be fun. Your fantasy football team just got ruined.
It's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I think you guys are overreacting to this injury. Well, and I think it's an
injury. No one's reacting. We're just stating a fact that he's out for a long stretch of time, and that is absolutely going to change something about their offense. No one's saying they're going to lose out. No one's saying they're not going to win the division, but it just got significantly harder to do those things.
And, I mean, last week, Pearl, I mean, you were saying how you felt like the Chiefs really weren't showing that explosive big play ability.
Yeah.
We didn't see that this week either. The reason why they were able to survive that is because Pacheco is getting 5 yards a carry. He's continuing to, you know, kind of control the game with the running game. If you don't have that option, let's say you bring in this, as Bogus mentioned, this blonde-haired fullback as your running back, and now you're not having that production. Like, are you still able to move the ball kind of dink and dunk?
Yes, because the safeties are playing a mile back.
But they
Carson Steele is going to run for 83 yards next week, guys.
Oof.
They also have Samaje Perine. So that's the latest. Yeah. It looks like Isaiah Pacheco, according to NFL media, fractured fibula. I'm sorry. Yeah, fibula.
Yes.
Basically,
tibia fibula.
Broken leg, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be out for some time, is what they're saying.
Let's do Sunday Night
Football.
Can you top
that?
The Texans, they are 2-0 this morning after a 19-13 home win over those Bears on Sunday Night Football. But they had to kick 4 long field goals. They were called for 12 penalties. C.J. Stroud frustrated but knows nobody's perfect right now.
A lot of things we can clean up. I think around the league you can see that, though. You know what I mean? A lot of sloppy ball. You know, some teams playing better than others. But I definitely know that, you know, Texan football was not what we put on the field today, but, you know, at least in the second half, we'll definitely be better for sure.
Caleb Williams took a beating in his first loss, sacked 7 times. But don't worry, head coach Matt Eberflus is on it.
I believe that protection is everybody. You know, protection is the tight ends, it's the runners, it's the offensive line, it's the quarterback, it's everybody involved. So we got to do a really good job with that. And taking a look at that.
Oh, good. Take a look at that. We'll sit here and wait.
They need someone to protect him from throwing that red flag. They need to hire an assistant coach.
Oh, my God. He's
Those
so bad.
Those are the two dumbest challenges I've ever seen a head coach make in my entire life, Matt Eberflus.
I know.
And when you make those challenges, you look like you have no idea what's going on in every other aspect of the game.
I know. Generally, when you tell a man, keep it in your pants, you're talking about something else. We're talking about the red challenge flag. Just keep it in your pocket, dude.
I mean, there was one where it was an interception, right, that like bounced off the ground and hit the guy in the face.
It
and,
bounced twice off the ground.
And it was Diggs or somebody caught a ball right in front of him. He's literally standing right there. Anybody could see that Diggs had both his feet in bounds, threw the chip flag anyway. I think they inspired the team or something. I don't even know what he was doing.
I think the interception, I'll be real, I think he got bullied by his own team. Because you could see the Bears on the field basically just screaming at him to throw the flag. And he's like, I guess I got to throw it because they're not playing defense. They weren't even lining up. So he just throws it almost out of fear. It's like, that scared me a little bit. Like,
never trust
the coach. Like, imagine yelling at Bill Parcells like that. Like, come on.
Never trust the players when it comes to a replay.
Never.
And in the NBA, it's even worse. Every time LeBron, like, gets air fouled, he's like, does that motion. Roll it back.
Yeah, check it.
Go to the tape, kind of.
Yeah, LeBron's a big up. Go to the replay. I'm like, dude, you just airballed. What replay? Anyway.
Let's quickly revisit Vikings-Niners because Kevin Harlan showed off again, doing two jobs at once because of a tech issue for Nate Burleson back in New York.
And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can. I can hear you. Go, Nate, go. Here we go. Rodgers against Tennessee, and they're going deep, and it was caught by the Titans. Ridley with a touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis, with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank you. Second down 6. Onside they go. There's Ayuk with the catch, and out of bounds he goes.
Yeah, I don't think he's taking Nate Burleson's highlight job yet, but he did his best on the fly with Nate unable to talk over a Calvin Ridley catch.
I can't hear anything.
Boy, am I right last week.
What?
Boy, might have been right last week.
What'd he say?
That Harlan's the GOAT? That was awesome.
He's the best. The streakers alone should have gotten him GOAT status. When he does the play-by-play of when someone runs on the field, it's the best.
And we've seen those incidents where, like, they have an issue where the guy can't hear or whatever, and no announcer has ever thought to do that. It's always, oh, well, we can't connect to New York. Let's just stay here, I guess. And the fact that he just said, oh, all right, I'm just going to do the highlight, and then had the humor to come back and be like, all right, now toss it back to myself.
I think Ian Eagle would have done something.
I think Ian would have done it too.
Yeah, probably. I just haven't, I don't know. I'm sure Ian's been in that position. I've never seen him do it. But that was awesome. That was one of my favorite things from Sunday.
I don't see Jim Nantz doing that, though.
No, I don't see it either.
No, but maybe no. Romo.
Romo might jump in. Yeah. Yeah. Tony, don't.
By the way, not a terrible game by Tony Romo.
Not a bad game by Tony.
Oh, he was awful yesterday to me.
It could really? Have been. It could have been way worse, and it has been way worse.
There was nobody on Twitter was killing Tony Romo that bad. I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it.
I mean, I think I joined other folks who felt like as the Chiefs kicked that game-winning field goal, and he's like, that's the greatness of Pat Mahomes right there.
Dude just converted 2 fourth downs.
Well, one of them he did not convert. The Bengals gave him one, and Pat Mahomes did throw 2 interceptions. Like
he rolled out to his right and hit the guy in the hands. He was just happy to get tackled right before he caught
Pat Mahomes had one of his worst games I've seen in years, and to go out there and say this is about how about the Chiefs defense? How about the Bengals choke? There were so many hot headlines that he runs to. That's the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. Okay. He's so fearful. I'm like, give me a break, man. This is why people can't stand the Chiefs.
But here's the thing. We say sometimes the Bengals get graded on a curve, and that's not right. Yeah. Like, you can't be like, oh, we're close, and like you get a participation trophy for basically being an Arrowhead. Romo, we can grade on a curve. It's much better than it was.
It's fair. I think I joined some of America that is getting frustrated with the Chiefs just as a whole. They're great. There's nothing wrong with them as a team. But, like, that was the cherry on top. Like, that game you watched, they should have lost. And then you got to hear a game where Pat Mahomes almost threw away and be like, that's the greatest of Pat Mahomes when they got a 4th-and-16 penalty.
What is going on?
Continued to drive, and the guy hit a 50-yard field goal.
You were ripping the Bengals 15 minutes ago. Now you're ripping the Chiefs. Like,
no, I'm ripping Romo. Just call the game
correctly.
Coming
out of the Sunday with the sourest taste in your mouth, and your Jets won. Like,
wait, here's the reason. I said this last year at the end of the year, but then the playoffs started, so you kind of like wiped the slate clean for the Chiefs. I can't have the celebrating in the box with Taylor and everybody like they just won the Super Bowl when it's week 2. Now you really got to act like you've been there before. High five, be happy, but they're hugging and jumping up and down like this is the three-peat.
I mean, the guy that was sitting next to her, that dopey guy, Travis Kelce got in the end zone when he was like 2 yards short. And he's putting his hands up. And I'm like, come on, guy. Like, you've done this now. We've now done this. You saw he wasn't in the end zone. Why are you putting your hands up, yelling touchdown? Everybody else in the booth kind of realizes that it's not a touchdown, except for Taylor and this dope.
Oh, they're
and they're
not
putting their hands up
fans.
Like, oh, Travis scored. His millionth touchdown of his life when he was 2 yards short.
They're still new.
God, why can't you guys sit and enjoy the Bengals Chiefs? It was a great game. Both teams are awesome. They're going to play deep in the playoffs. It's not like the Panthers and the Falcons in a rainy game or something. You guys are like, EJ's like, I can't believe they weren't ripping the Bengals more. I can't believe they weren't ripping Mahomes more. And you're mad about Taylor Swift in the box?
Yeah.
It was an awesome game. Can't we all enjoy it?
Yeah.
They're going to play again in the playoffs. This is a preview.
This is, let's come in. Both sides played hard back to you. No, not happening.
But those are the two best teams in the AFC right there, and they played a great game on Sunday, and they're going to play again in the playoffs, and you heard it here first.
5 second-half lead changes.
Yeah.
All the drama you want.
Awesome. Yeah,
awesome.
It was great.
Weird score, weird
wait,
scoring.
That's good. Five second. That's good. It was a great game.
I'm with you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm on your side here. I am not happy that I am, but I'm on your side.
Also, you think it was right to say that was the greatest of Pat Mahomes after a guy hits a 50-yard field goal and he converted a 4th-and-16 from a penalty?
Also, the Texans might also be one of the good teams in the AFC.
Yeah, don't forget about them.
But EJ, you've ripped the Bengals, and now you're ripping the Chiefs.
Yep. Oh, I'm ripping Tony Romo more than anything. Defense played great, and I said that just a couple seconds ago.
Bogish, thank you so much. Fantastic job all morning. Okay, coming up, we have 0-2 teams. Who's panicking and who's breathing easy? We'll tell you next, Maggie Perloff. Breaking news this morning. Tough one for the back-to-back champs, and that is Isaiah Pacheco looks like, according to NFL media, is going to land on IR. Broken fibula, fractured fibula, so basically a broken leg, is what NFL Network is reporting, Perloff. And listen, even if it's the Chiefs and Mahomes and Andy Reid, it's still a loss. It's still a big loss. Now, if he can come back in time for a playoff run, then you might be fine. But they just depend on him a lot, I feel like, for, just the amount of first downs that he gets. I mean, his bulldozing way of running combined with his ability in the pass game. Anyway,
report from Schefter that he's getting an MRI today to make sure there's no ligament damage.
Oof, hopefully not.
This is not good. So, the first report from Schefter was up to 4 weeks at least. So the question is, will he be back? Now, the thing is, we're talking about Isaiah Pacheco, and he was really hot at the end of last year. Like, we've seen the Chiefs win in so many ways. I really believe, to count them out with Andy Reid as your head coach, he'll probably do a Debo and put one of the wide receivers back and running back. He'll find a way. And you do have Patrick Mahomes. I know Mahomes didn't play well yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's still the best quarterback in the NFL.
No doubt. It's just interesting because, Kelce might have to get going a little bit more in the pass game. He was not a big part of it yesterday. Mecole Hardman, they're going to Rashee Rice. Okay, enough. Xavier Worthy, again, had four targets and two catches. It's not like the heavy workload really on these wideouts. Now he's a rookie, so whatever. But
the Hollywood Brown news was a blow.
And Hollywood Brown being out for the year. And so the other part, I just think, you watch a Chiefs game, and there's just so much Pacheco. It's just a lot. And this was a prop bet that I won this weekend with the Pacheco over 64.5 rushing yards, and he had 50 at half.
But so much of that is a function of what the defense is giving them.
That's true, but, we talk about how the Chiefs want to win these games a little bit differently than years past. And so if you're going to be in these close and tight games, the run game is everything.
I mean, Pacheco ran for 900 yards last year, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's not good. I'm saying they were in the top half of the league running team and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he had 53 first downs last year, and that was just by the run. He's just been dependable for them. It's been reliable. I mean, doesn't fumble the ball. One fumble last year, and he missed a couple games too. So, I don't know. To me, I'm curious to see how Andy Reid regroups. And next week you're playing against, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're at Atlanta on Sunday night game. Then you're at the Chargers for a division game. And then the vaunted Saints after that, the hottest team in the NFL. We'll see if they still are by that game.
Yeah, last year,
Monday night,
I think they were 20th in the league in rushing. I mean, their passing game's like a rushing game anyway. I'm not sure what to tell you.
So you think they're not going to skip a beat here? Everything's going to be totally fine?
I think that they're probably going to be 12-5 and be super, super dangerous in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm not downgrading their Super Bowl chances significantly.
I wonder if the odds
change at all.
Well, we have so much time until the Super Bowl.
That's why. I mean, that because week two, if this was the wild card round, then yes, this would be a huge issue. But they're going to have time to reinvent their team. They could possibly, trade for a running back. Because they are kind of thin at running back, but it's not that hard. There's probably guys out on the market, too.
Yeah, did Dalvin Cook ever sign with anyone?
It's Cowboys, right?
Dallas.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen him.
I'm not sure if he made the team, even.
I was going to say, he wasn't out there yesterday.
He's still on the Cowboys.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, listen, Super Bowl's far down the way. I'm just curious what this looks like in the immediate. Because you're trying to play a different type of way, right? You're trying to play with this basically your defense is kind of leading the way for you. And so when points are at a premium and when you're in these tight games now, you're not blowing people out. The Chiefs don't do that right now.
This kid Carson Seal runs pretty hard, too.
A lot on a rookie.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I think if Patrick Mahomes a quarterback, I don't think they need to be all about Isaiah Pacheco either. I think they have so many other things to do. We'll see, too, if they add somebody. I mean, is it that hard to find a running back? Trade for somebody. There's a lot of teams that already don't need their running back.
EJ Stewart, good to have you back, dude. Nick Theodoro, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. It's all about you.